Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
It was a big night for Justin Herbert. I thought it was a big night for Oregon Ducks football, University of Oregon. Mario Cristobal, the Ducks coach, joining us. What was that like to see one of your guys drafted that high?
Awesome, man. I mean, the story that goes behind that, that entire scenario, his career, and to culminate in something like that, at a place where, hey, we could all, you know, selfishly speaking, right, we got him close enough where we could, you know, get over there every now and then, maybe in a bye week, or have him come over and address the team. It's just an incredible moment, experience, and just awesome, awesome.
It's interesting because I think, you know, we think your job is to win football games, but really you're there as a father figure to some of these kids, and you know, you're there to help kind of usher them towards their dreams. And then you get a case like this where you get a guy drafted like that. Can that help in recruiting? Is that something that comes up in as you were recruiting?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, everybody wants to know, hey, what's the track record? You know, where have you been and the places you've been at and the place you're at now? What do you do in terms of the next level? And as it relates to not only the NFL, but life after football and everything else. And the track record at Oregon is awesome. And just, you know, the trajectory going forward is, it's a really steady incline that promises to be really special. So, yeah, without a doubt, that is always a huge question on the minds of future prospects and their families.
It drove me crazy watching the coverage, you know, sort of the analysts leading in the weeks leading to the draft, because I felt like some of them didn't really know Justin and they were trying to talk about him as a player. What criticism of him did you hear that you just roll your eyes at or slap your forehead?
Well, you know, I got questions never here, and mind you, NFL scouts, GMs, they're here all the time. They spend more time here than just about any place in the country because we do the right thing. We have that Cuban food out there for them, a little Cuban coffee, right? You know, we do donuts. We take care of those boys, and everything was just positive, positive, positive. And then, so when, you know, down the stretch here at the end when people were asking questions about leadership, it was more than rolled my eyes. I was offended. I'm like, whoa, I mean, how many of the critics have been in the huddle on the sideline, have been there for a freshman to take over a team at with a 4-8 record and have to play with a freshman O-line and a bunch of new guys and go through coaching changes and coordinator changes and just stick with it through injury and end up winning the Pac-12 and win the Rose Bowl? I mean, it's hard to draw better if you want your quarterback to have that type of experience and to help your franchise in the NFL do that. How could you ask for a better scenario than what Justin had to go through, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think, too, there's a lot made of verbal leadership. I didn't see him at practice. I didn't see him in the weight room. I didn't see him in meetings. You know, you saw a different side of Justin Herbert than I think we saw on game day because you get the whole picture.
Yeah, he does a real good job. And I think sometimes people might mistake leadership for noise. I don't know if that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you know, Ray Lewis was a gifted guy that could stand in front of thousands and deliver a great speech. And, you know, he did it often. Justin's a guy that, man, when he speaks, I made a reference to it the other day. Remember those old E.F. Hutton commercials? You know, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. Everybody kind of shuts up at the restaurant and, you know, leans over, tries to listen in.
Yeah.
He's that kind of a guy, man. When he opens his mouth to address something, it's very powerful because everyone knows, well, no one wants to win, you know, worse than this guy does. This guy wants it more than anything in the world. So he has that type of presence about him, and it is powerful and impactful, and they're going to feel it in San Diego. I'm sorry, Los Angeles.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I call him the San Diego I can't get that out of my head. This is an interesting time for you because, you know, you should have like we should have been enjoying a spring with football and everything going on in a big spring game. I know you and I texted a little bit about what spring game could have been. What were you anticipating the spring game to be like had everything gone on without coronavirus?
Oh, man, it was poised to be the best one we've ever had. The crowd was going to be huge, you know, potentially record-breaking. We were going to honor the Rose Bowl champs, the Pac-12 champs. We fully felt, you know, our women's basketball team was making a run at the national title, and we all felt really strongly that they would. Same with the men's basketball team. The women's softball team was just performing at a super high level. Track was just getting going. I mean, it was going to be an unbelievable just event, a very special celebration, and the bringing in of the new guard, a bunch of new guys that are playing, as well as, you know, that's our biggest recruiting weekend of the year. That's what typically kicks off our classes has for the last 3 years. And, you know, it's a window and it's an opportunity that was taken away. And again, we understand it is what it is, but, you know, what could have been in terms of that day, the special event that day is, you know, it's tough to swallow.
How do you prepare with the uncertainty, or do you have to prepare that we're playing games, we're all going to be covering games as the schedule dictates until someone tells you otherwise? Or how many contingency plans are in Mario Cristobal's mind?
Oh, everyone possible, and they have to be. I mean, one thing that you can't get enough of is self-scout and opponent study. And even more important than that, the constant interaction, engagement with your players, with your staff, personal growth within the organization, working on the mindset, mentality of our football program and its players it's always going to be at a premium. I mean, that's where we feel it's always going to be won and lost, is building the culture from the inside out. So, no, it's almost like, You always you find more hours to do things. You know, it never stops, and it shouldn't stop. So, and you got to focus on those things because you can control that, and the players can sink their teeth into that because they know at least that part of it is real and will happen at some point in time.
Mario Cristobal with us, Oregon Ducks head football coach. I got to think, when you're watching the draft, you have knowledge of a lot of the guys that are coming off the board, because you probably 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years ago were recruiting these kids. How many of those kids are you familiar with as the draft is going on?
Oh, a lot of them, you know, a lot of them, just because either having worked at the former place I was at, some of those guys, you know, had a big day yesterday. And then some of the other ones you've come across over time. It's neat to see some of the families and their day end up being like it is. It's what you talk about when you're in that living room and you identify a guy that you know is going to be there, right? Because you really, when you're in a living room, you want to be honest and truthful. Don't tell a guy he's a potential first-round pick if you see that, hey, he's going to have to work hard, be a really good player, and still be an NFL player. But don't change, you know, the narrative to something that sounds nice. But to the ones that you know have the potential, and it's going to require them just investing their entire existence into it. And if they do, this will be a reality. It's great to see that happen for those guys.
You stay positive with recruiting, because I think you stay really focused on selling who you are, who the program is. There are a lot of programs that will do that, but then on the side, they're over there negative recruiting, saying this or that. And, you know, in that recruiting world, why do you choose to do it the way you do it?
Oh, that's honestly, it's simple upbringing. I mean, if my father, may he rest in peace, if he ever caught me saying something about someone behind their back, he would whoop my butt. It would be an ass whooping of epic proportions. That's how bad it would be, and that's the way I was raised. You know, I mean, that's why there's an MMA, and that's why there's boxing. So, you know, those kind of things just should have never transpired. So that's why we do things like we do them. I just, can you imagine the character flaw that is?
Yeah.
To have a staff go around and I mean, I wouldn't let my son go there. If my sons, you've seen my two crazy knuckleheads. Yep. When it's their time, if someone walks into my house and they start off with a whole negative recruiting spiel, I mean, come on, man. That's an indictment on them as people, their DNA, and their character. You know, get that out of here, man.
I used to hear the stories from Jerry Tarkanian when I was covering his program. He was getting old, and he was in his 70s, and he had other coaches telling recruits, you know, look how old he is. How long can he last? How long can he make it? And I was like, oh my God, how dirty does that get? How do you, like, because you know, when you go in there, now you're operating from a place where you're at Oregon. You've got something to sell. You got success to sell. It's not like you're just selling a concept, is it?
No, it's. I think it's, you know, Oregon is Oregon. Oregon is, it sells itself. It speaks for itself. And once you set foot on campus and you meet the professionals, the men and women, you know, from the academic staff to the trainers, the medical staff, you know, the residence hall people, when you meet the development people, all these people that are involved in touching the daily lives and the development and growth of these young men, it's a no-brainer. It really is. And you combine the city of Eugene, the community, it's like, it's really hard to top. So, that's why, like, I don't, like, when I hear negative stuff, I just kind of laugh it off. It almost means, like, all right, they're worried, you know. they got to go to that bit. I got it. Okay, that makes sense, you know. So, no, it's all positive and it's all good, and there's so much to sell, man. If we always say that if a program is talking negatively about us, they probably run out of good things to say about themselves, you know, so.
Mario Cristobal with us. Joe Moorhead, you know, he doesn't get a spring to get his offense in. How challenging is that for a new play caller coordinator to come in and not get those reps?
It comes with a challenge. Luckily, we got 4 days in, and I mean, everybody's facing it now. I mean, some have entirely new staffs and never got a day of spring ball as well. So it'll be a challenge that we all face. Hopefully, there's a remedy in there in these formulas that we're coming up with that has a few OTA-style practices where you could install and get out there on the grass and move around and have guys line up and just get a better understanding of what the scheme is. And if that's the case, then, hey, you know what, at least it's an even playing field and you got to roll with it. But, I mean, come on, man. Football coaches, we're always going to complain about not having enough time,
yes.
Right? I mean,
right.
You can give us 50 days of spring ball and say, why can't we get 60? Come on, you know, so it's all right. I mean, it's part of it. And it'll, again, the culture and football IQ and diligence and perseverance are going to really stick out strongly once we do get rolling.
All right. So we've all been home. I'm doing this radio show from the home studio. We all pick up habits. What habit has Mario Cristobal picked up in the last month that he's going to carry with him for the foreseeable future?
I'm a chef. I'm a barber. Zero, but you're gonna love this. Customer satisfaction in the barbershop is 0% right now. Zero. It was like chasing two warthogs around the house with a pair of clippers. Unbelievable. The footage would have been just epic. It would have been a national story. But got that done. The chef part, man, I struggle unless it's an omelet or a burger. If it's an omelet or a burger, I'm on point. The office set up, the dodging of the Nerf weapons that are constantly being flung around the house, the secret, you know, the stealth attacks, wrestling style, like old school Dusty Road style, are a little bit of a challenge throughout the course of the day. It's kind of neat. The first time I've seen my house in daylight, leaving so early and coming back so late, neighborhood's pretty cool. But aside from that, man, it's been, you know, the blessing part is, again, being involved in the development of your own kids, which we really don't get much time to do. And I've taken every minute to take advantage of that.
Now, you mentioned chef. What is Mario Cristobal cooking?
Man, I struggle. I mean, the beef stew I tried to make last night in the crock pot, you know, it's supposed to be meat and potatoes. They renamed it rock and potatoes. And, like, it's a joke. Like, the whole family's complaining of chipped teeth because the meat's so hard. So, you know what? I'm done with it. I mean, if they want to order pizza, that's fine with me. I'm glad to resign my chef duties. I just felt unappreciated last night after my efforts.
Just shave their heads, man. That's the best way to go. We'll get through summer that way.
No doubt. No doubt, man.
Well, I
doing for you. How are you guys hanging in there?
Same thing. I got three girls, and you know, there's a lot of skin knees. They're all jumping out of trees and jumping off things, and they're introduced me to TikTok, and I wish they never had, because now, you know, if I click on it, I burn 15 minutes watching stupid videos, and I've lost weight though. I'm working out more. You'd like that? I've lost about 11 pounds.
There you go.
I'm getting after it.
What are you doing? What are you doing for workouts?
I'm riding the bike. I'm riding the bike and I got three sets of dumbbells and I need more, but I got enough to get by. So I've been doing that.
Why don't you get Coach Feld? Coach Feld could send you some of these crazy bands and one of those boxes of protein and get you on one of his crazy like mustache man workouts or something.
I've seen his arms. I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I can handle that workout, but I'll hit him up. I appreciate you making time for us, Coach.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks for having me and stay safe.
All right, there he is, the barber, the chef, the guy at his household with a 0% rating right now, Mario Cristobal. I'm curious from you, the listener, yes, you, what is that habit you've picked up in the last 5 weeks that you might carry with you? I've got a couple things I really have picked up on all serious notes that I am going to carry forward. And full disclosure, I was on the bike right prior to the show. Getting a good sweat. So I was like, this is something that I will carry forward. I think it's healthier. Do you have a healthy habit that you picked up? Something positive, something encouraging that you have picked up? We'll talk about that. Plus, download on Mario Cristobal's interview. Do you have any takeaways that you got? I am concerned, a little bit concerned about the loss of spring for a program that's got a new play caller, new coordinator. But as Mario Cristobal pointed out, everybody's going through that right now. I still think, though, the fact that you don't have a quarterback who has taken significant snaps, you don't have a play caller, that congruency on offense, I'm a little concerned about Oregon's offense. I'm not concerned that they'll run the football because I think with Penei Sewell and that offensive line, they'll figure it out, Mario Cristobal coaching them. But a little bit concerned about what are they going to be on offense? And if the season does start on time, North Dakota State, Ohio State out of the gate, that's not going to be that easy for that offensive unit. So I do think only having 4 days of spring practice for Joe Moorhead raises a concern, and his quarterback raises a concern. But beyond that, I want your takeaways. 503-417-7575. Mario Cristobal, I thought he was really good. He's always good. Good to hear from him. We should have been talking about spring football, but I'm glad that we got to talk about Justin Herbert. I always find it interesting the criticisms that a player has in the draft. And Mario Cristobal is right. The scouts, the GMs, they're there. They see it at practice. That's fine. But when you hear criticisms from the quote-unquote experts in the media who are making these detailed criticisms from 10,000 feet, I would put a lot more stock in it if I believed those people were talking to the GMs and the scouts that were there every day. Because I think there's two ways as a media member to get yourself informed. One is to see it with your eyes and report what you see. The second is to talk to experts who know more than you and ask them what they see before you relay it. But I felt like the criticisms on Herbert, hesitation in making decisions, was a guy who hesitated some in the pocket, maybe wasn't a great leader. I think those criticisms are lazy criticisms. And I think when you look deeper at Oregon's season, I didn't see a receiving core that was getting a lot of separation. I think that makes it incredibly difficult for a quarterback as he's trying to make some, as he's checking down or making read number two, read number three, and throwing to receivers that are demanding tight windows. I think it was tough on Justin Herbert in the last season, especially without Dylan Mitchell around. And before that, he had Dylan Mitchell and nobody else. And I think that's incredibly challenging. And then to the leadership point, I agree with Mario Cristobal. I just think, I've talked to a ton of coaches and over my career, and especially in the last few weeks, about leadership. It was evident to me that Sabrina Ionescu was a leader on the court for the Oregon Ducks women's basketball team. I don't know that we ever heard her give a rah-rah speech, but it was the way she played. It was the demands she made of her teammates. Certainly probably things she said in practice or in huddles. But I can't recall seeing Serena address the crowd. address her team, be vocal and outspoken. I just got the idea that her leadership was infectious. We have become accustomed in the quarterback world to looking to the quarterback and saying, well, that guy needs to be a vocal leader. I can think of cases, and Joe Montana comes to mind, of quarterbacks who were clearly the leaders of their offense, but maybe weren't real rah-rah vocal leaders. What Justin Herbert did in overcoming injury, playing for three different head coaches, and throwing to a bunch of mediocre receivers while still putting up quarterback ratings that never dipped below 144.6, and touchdown to interception ratios like 32-6 with no NFL receivers in his stable, I think it's nothing short of remarkable. But it's not our big splash. Our big splash, we do it every day.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Sir, down there.
The Big Splash! Brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the wait. Download the new Sport Clips Haircuts app and check in.
Rounds 2 and 3 of the draft will take place today, beginning at 4 o'clock. Rounds 4 through 7 are on Saturday. They're all on ESPN, ABC, and the NFL Network. But I want to talk about last night's NFL draft viewership. The first round was the most watched NFL draft telecast ever. The numbers are official now. 15.6 million people tuned in, the NFL announced today. Its record viewership included ABC, ESPN, NFL Network, ESPN Deportes, and the digital channels. Broke the previous record of 12.4 million viewers. That was in 2014. And it is a 37% increase over a year ago. Big night for the NFL. Yes, there was no NBA. Yes, there was no NHL. Yes, people are starving for quality programming. But I thought the NFL had a big night and delivered with some good content with a lot of eyeballs on it. That's the one thing you need to know. All right, coming up, Punch It Audio. We'll talk Oregon State football. We got Jake Luton and Isaiah Hodgins probably watching the rest of this draft with those.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.